When the police arrived at the abandoned trailer that day, they thought they were just dealing with some rule-breaking kids. What they found were hidden children living in squalor. This is the story of Shane and Crystal Robertson, the parents who considered their kids nothing but garbage disposals with legs. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here, and hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. Today's case reminds me of the Turpin children, which might serve as a warning to you. Only this one doesn't even involve trips to Disneyland. Listen, I want you to know that I don't go around the internet looking for horrific cases involving children. They just find their way to me because the algorithms know how to elicit outrage. And the phrase, maggots in her hair, will do that for me. Today's case begins halfway between Philadelphia and Allentown in a Sellersville, Pennsylvania mobile home community. There, the cops were called on two kids. It was about 1:30 p.m. on April 23, 2023, when authorities arrived to kick the kids out of the abandoned trailer they were seen breaking into. Someone complained that they were stealing things from it.
After a concerned neighbor called police when she saw the kids breaking into an abandoned trailer.
I seen them going into the trailer next door here and taking some things out, and that's why I called.
You can see on Google Maps that the little subdivision is mostly made up of single and double-wide trailers, and the abandoned one is sort of hidden in bushes and trees. When the officers arrived, they found a pale, thin 12-year-old girl in the front yard. Despite telling them she had social anxiety, the little girl immediately spoke up and said that her parents had told them to stay out of the abandoned trailer and that her parents shouldn't be held responsible. The girl was barefoot despite the chill in the air, but had the hood of her hoodie pulled up. I immediately think of how sweet she must be to make sure her parents weren't blamed for her behavior, or how scared of her own mom and dad she must have been. Another little girl, this one 14 years old, came around from the back of the trailer to the front yard. She was wearing dirty clothes and clunky work boots that didn't fit her. The girls admitted to breaking into the trailer, but said it was only because their family didn't have enough money and they needed to find a blanket to keep their rats warm. Alarm bells must have been going off in these officers' heads between the dirty, inappropriate clothes and having to steal blankets for rats of all things. They called the girls' parents and waited 25 minutes for Shane and Crystal Robertson to return home. The officers asked to see inside their nearby trailer, and 37-year-old Crystal complied, unlocking the front door. Knowing that the door was still locked, it makes me wonder if the girls had to crawl out through a window. Crystal, apparently knowing how it would look as soon as the officers got inside, tried to preemptively explain the situation with the refrigerator. She said that the kids had been eating so much that she had to lock the fridge. She said they had been stealing the food. She called them garbage disposals with legs. Little known fact, Crystal, food is what makes children grow. Indeed, the refrigerator was being held hostage by a bike lock, and the only key was in Crystal's purse. It didn't really matter anyway. When they opened it up, there was barely any food inside. At this point, one of the officers asked how many kids the Robertsons had, and they said there was one more daughter, a 16-year-old whom they called out from a back bedroom to join them. She looked as unkempt as the other kids did, and truly as unkempt as the trailer itself was. She said she knew the police were outside, but she had to stay inside to watch the youngest kid. And I'm truly the worst detective. Like, the ending of everything from The Sixth Sense to Squid Game has been a shocker to me, but if the other two kids are outside and you had to stay inside to take care of a kid, that tells me there's more kids. So the police left and made a report to Pennsylvania's Childline hotline. And I'm amazed at how fast they moved on this, but a woman from the Bucks County Children and Youth Agency arrived that afternoon and found a total of 7 children in the home. There was the 16-year-old girl, the 14-year-old girl, and the 12-year-old girl the cops had met, but there was also a 10-year-old girl, an 8-year-old girl, a 6-year-old boy, and a 4-year-old girl. They were being hidden in a bedroom. Police officers came back at 5 p.m. and asked 47-year-old Shane Robertson why he'd lied about not having more kids. He said he didn't want to get into any trouble. The children all looked malnourished and uncared for and were taken to a local hospital to be looked over. This is when the police had the chance to photograph and really make note of the state of the trailer, which just about makes your stomach lurch. The main bedroom was covered in garbage and had holes in the walls. The bed had filthy sheets on it and was surrounded by animal cages. There were 2 dogs, 2 turtles, 2 rabbits, snakes, toads, a 4-foot lizard, and about 24 rats. This is me grasping at straws here, but at least there was food in the house for the animals. A second bedroom had literal feces sitting outside of it and a disgusting mattress and blanket inside also smeared with feces. A third bedroom had no door, was filled with dirty clothes and garbage, and was blocked by a broken washing machine. The bathroom was missing the bottom half of its door and had corroded pipes. There were no cleaning products anywhere, no soap for washing hands nor dishes, no toothpaste for brushing teeth. The report says the walls and floors of this home were either destroyed or disintegrating. The floors were made of only plywood, no carpet to be seen, and the boards were rotting to the point that you could see the dirt under the trailer in certain places. The mother, Crystal, said a new piece of plywood had been installed outside of the main bedroom after she recently fell through the floor. I really don't mean to shame this couple, but I just feel for these kids growing up in poverty. And the situation with the kids back at the hospital was also not great. Only the 14-year-old wasn't considered clinically malnourished. Two of the kids had COVID, two of the kids had low kidney function, and three of the kids had acute viral syndrome. None of them had been to school, and they all had problems reading, writing, and spelling. USA Today reports that their mom's version of homeschooling was passing around a phone and letting each kid use it for a while. The children had speech impediments and didn't know their own birth dates. Every one of them showed signs of social anxiety and said they were afraid of being out around other people. The little boy had an abscess in his mouth that had to be operated on, and he also needed 5 tooth extractions, 6 crowns, and 13 cavities filled. Imagine the pain this poor kid was in. The 8-year-old daughter also needed 5 teeth pulled and 6 crowns. 4 of the children needed glasses, but had probably never had their eyes checked. The little toddler had ringworm. And here's the maggots in the hair part I mentioned before. Apparently, the 12-year-old girl had gotten a terrible sunburn the previous summer, even on her scalp. And because it was too painful, she hadn't been able to brush her hair. And then her hair got so tangled from not being brushed that it became matted. And the problem kept compounding, and it probably wasn't helped by the fact that the family had no shampoo. So yes, there were maggots living in her nest of hair, and child services just had to shave it all off and be done with it. The children went into foster care after their hospital stay, and after nearly a month of investigation, the Robertson parents were arrested. They each faced charges of 1 count of second degree endangering the welfare of a child because the 4-year-old is so young, and 6 counts of third degree endangering the welfare of the older children. They were each able to post 10% of their $10,000 bond and were released after 1 day in jail. They'll be in court on August 7th. We don't know much about the family at this point, other than from social media and sources who don't want to be named. Crystal had a now private TikTok account for her lizard that had 1,100 followers and gives away a lot about her priorities. While her children stayed at home starving, the lizard wore a baby chick costume to go see the Easter Bunny. While her children were kept out of the refrigerator by a bike lock, the lizard got salmon, chicken, and steak. While the kids wore the same dirty clothes every day, the lizard got a new bee costume from the Halloween store. While the kids didn't have shoes, Crystal got a new tattoo of the lizard's foot on her chest. Crystal is supposedly a survivor of breast cancer and is a moderator for a Facebook group of 9,000 plus people. The avatar she uses as her Facebook profile picture is quite generous toward her, one might say. The website phillyburbs.com reports that she drives for a service like Uber or Lyft, while her husband, Shane, works for a cold storage business. We also know that they moved into their mobile home about a year and a half ago. I'd be very curious to find out where they lived before. One source says it was a motel, which surely had to be better than where they ended up. I can't imagine that they paid money for this trailer with the rotting floor, so where did they get the $2,000 to post bail? I did a little digging, and the person who put up their bonds appears to be a woman named Joyce, who lives in the same mobile home community as the Robertsons. I see her listed as an owner of the property where the Robertsons lived, and I see Crystal listed as a daughter in an obituary for Joyce's husband. So it seems that Joyce is Crystal's mom and provided the trailer and the bail for Crystal and Shane to get out of jail. I'm not blaming her for anything, I don't know the story, but you would think that a grandma who lives nearby would have seen the problems. Along those same lines, you also have to wonder how much neighbors knew. It's a little hard for me to live in a world where a neighbor calls the cops on kids stealing an abandoned blanket for their rats, but doesn't call the cops for dirty, malnourished children who need care. I hope at the very least that this call was the neighbor's excuse to get help for these kids. Although another neighbor said he had no idea what secrets were hiding in the house when he saw the kids running around barefoot in the same clothes every day. He said, "When I got that report and I started reading it, I busted out in tears. When I got to the part where one child's head was covered with maggots, I just wanted to, it's just hard to take." Now, I have family members who homeschool and are raising wonderful, curious, intelligent children, but I've seen people point out the lack of real oversight when it comes to homeschooling. If it's a question of privacy for parents versus protecting kids, I can tell you which wins out for me. But the thing is that it's not like this family was even following the rules for homeschooling, like having a sworn supervisor providing 180 days of instruction per year with an annual written evaluation. These kids weren't registered with the local school district, and they weren't meeting with the required evaluator once a year. So yes, a teacher in a formal school likely would have noticed the issues with the children early on, but so would a doctor, a dentist, any responsible adult. This really isn't the fault of homeschooling. It's the fault of parents who didn't care at all, and anyone else who turned a blind eye. I understand that it's scary to report someone and that we don't want to police parents, but we have to do more. Obviously, these kids are going to have so much to overcome in the remainder of their short childhoods, physically, emotionally, and intellectually. I'm not sure they'll ever be able to catch up. But as usual, I'd love to know your thoughts on this case and if you agree or disagree with any of mine. Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.